It is Wednesday night, August the 18th, 2010. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Today, as I'm out doing other stuff, my wife was going to order one of those, satellite TV type things for our house. We have been without TV for a while, and we're just kind of going through to see about best deals and that kind of stuff. So I found an ad that said $29 for 6 months and all these programs and that you could add football. Now, listen, I do watch football. I watch I like Brett Favre. I like his that he never quits, that he continues to fight. And I so we're thinking about getting it, and I come home today later to find out that my wife read the fine print, on the ad. It had a large section of very, very fine print. I would have to use two sets of glasses to read it. So she called and she questioned them about the fine print and about all the details. And after everything was said and everything was done and the bottom, you know what the lady said? The lady said to my wife, well, ma'am, nobody ever reads the fine print. Nobody ever reads the fine print. And my wife says, well, I do. And it came down to being with the football package and everything you had to have. And the fake free installation and the fake free other things. Listen, it was going to be over $200 a month they wanted to sign us up for. That's amazing. From $29 and something in the ad for the first 5 months in their program, out of everything done, all the fine print read, bottom line, little over $218 a month. Listen, you know, you got to be nuts. You got to be just nuts. I just, of course, we're not going to do that. Not at all. It's just way too much, way out of the, it's not worth it to us. We're not TV fanatics. Let me ask you something. When it comes to submission to Allah, and I would assume that today there's going to be some Muslims listening. I would assume that there'll be those that have caught it on the web, caught it on radio. Maybe somebody passed it along to you the last few days, and you're checking it out. And I would say, I love you, God loves you, and that by God's providence, you may be here. I'm talking about the God of heaven and earth, the God that loves you, that is seeking to reach you. Can I ask you if you know God in an experiential and personal way? So I'm going to say that tonight, Wednesday the 18th, by the providence and the prayers that have been prayed, there may be Muslims that do listen. My name is Russ, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And see, I'm somebody that's involved in spiritual warfare and doing deliverances and dealing with, well, the Luciferic agenda in the end of days, the globalism, the rise of Antichrist, and all that is coming. That's what we're about. That's what we get into. That's what we deal with. And I'm seeing some massive similarities. And I'm going to ask everyone listening today live, let me say, first of all, welcome, blessings in the name of the living Christ. To the believers, may the Spirit of God strengthen you to do His will, compelled by love to lead others to Jesus, to become powerful in prayer. And we have the new series that is going up, Becoming Powerful in Prayer. The other series, Dark Powers, Dark Rituals, that's continuing. It will lead us right into a major, major month-long, maybe 2 months-long, of a deep investigation of the Mayan culture. And we're now considering going down there, a team of us. I asked L.A. Marzulli if he wants to go. He sent back an email and said, let's do it. So we're talking about it, praying about it, something we've been praying about for about 5-6 months, and we want to go. Today, we need to make sure that in all things, we do read the fine print. And I would say read the fine print of the Quran. Read the fine print of what Allah is. Look at the history. Look at the archaeology. Look at all of it. Read the fine print of Muhammad's life. Read the fine print. Let me stop for a moment and tell you that somebody today sent me an article. And let me tell you something. This is an individual. I will never, never reveal their name publicly. They know that. And they had been here once, and we went over the issues of deliverance, demonic attachment, subpersonalities. In the room, the hotel, when I and another staff member were there, as we engaged a subpersonality that was committed to the dark side. Well, they got angry and spun a little notebook. It just went whizzing right past my face. Some kind of little ritual things were done under the chair that I had sat in. Nothing occurred. An encounter occurred where the love of God, the presence of God, demonstrated the reality of Christ and God's power. But this is an individual that we pray for all the time, we love, we care about, and probably listening right now. And you know, we're not going to say your name publicly ever. But I wanted to share that I get emails from this person and from sub-personalities, as with others out there. And so she sends this picture in Rolling Stone magazine, the cover of Vampire Sex, a guy and a girl and a guy naked, all kind of standing in a certain way, not to reveal, quote, too much, but blood all over them, blood spattered everywhere, and it deals with vampire sex. So I'm reading some of the things because I don't watch the Twilight junk. I don't watch the stuff that seduces a lot of young ladies out there. And if I was a guy, 16, 17, 18, that loves God, I would be literally opposed to such transmutation of romance. Girls, transmutation of romance. I mean, to prey upon the romantic feelings in the context of addictions to bloodlust. It's an amazing thing. So I wrote a letter back and mentioned a few things. This person wrote a letter back, I think. I'm not sure. Nobody signed this one, per se. Here's what they wrote back to me concerning the issues of vampire sex and all that's going on with it. Quote, too much gay sex. Well, you know, I have some other issues there. And I'm going to quote here. One of them, referring to the vampires, ripped out a man's heart from behind when having gay sex with another for revenge. They have weird cult characters. The psychic reminds me of many I know. People do not trust. Listen, when I look at this, I'm reading again, another girl who turned, become vampire, used to be all innocent, rips out the shapeshifter's heart and eats him while he begs for his life. She finally feeds and enjoys her new powers. She is very, very quick. They can be arrogant sometimes, the vamps. Remind me of chosen ones. Interesting. Another one says here, another quote here, I quote it. After ripping pit a man's heart on camera, he sneers and says, "You are not our equals." So once again, it reminds me of Nephilim, literally. And you wonder if there was some level of Nephilim generations that were just simply bloodlusters and that would devour humanity. It's obvious that when I've dealt with high-level, demonized sub-personalities, priestesses and priests in the Luciferic sense, Wow, they would sneer at me also. It was like, who are you that we should even talk to you? Who are you that we should even, you know, be, you should not even address us. We don't even need, I mean, I was but a dog in their view. At least until the encounter and the authority of Christ crushed their demonic attachments and possessions and powers. So, listen, it's a big thing out there right now. Connie Huft, who wrote a great book, it's on our website. Scroll down to the right, A Guide to Intelligent. Well, it's about discernment, and she'll deal with vampire issues there. As a matter of fact, Connie Huff is going to be in Las Vegas August 27th, 28th at the conference. She'll be one of the speakers and no doubt will bring this issue up. I had a youth pastor and a youth worker, the woman sent me an article, then asked me what my opinion was and what insight I would give, because she was going to be teaching, dealing with her youth group in a church on the issue of vampires and Twilight series and all the rest. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing how bloodlust, slaughtering, killing, desecrating human bodies, eating them, in the context of some kind of almost sinister, addictive, romantic addiction, draws people in. Well, I have no problem not having the slightest interest other than, once again, as predicted, there is grave, seductive, dark, radical evil that does clearly seduce our children. So what are we doing about it? What are we doing to lead them to truth, to peace, to a life that involves love and the quality of sex as God intended and the beauty of it? Can you have romance without bloodlust and people biting the vein in your neck? Well, gosh, of course. Far beyond all that junk. Today I ordered a book by Erwin Lutzer. Somebody sent me a note on it, and it's all about some of the characteristics of the Nazis during their day and what's happening here in our day. So as I looked over the information, and Erwin Lutzer, listen, a good writer, and so I'm going to take a run into that book. Gosh, I ended up ordering 4 or 5 this week. And so we're just, again, doing the research, doing the study, doing the stuff, and then coming and trying to bring a clear message of God's grace and mercy and warning. Let me give a warning to Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, of course, comes out. It's all over the news today. Nancy Pelosi absolutely contrary to the will of God, contrary, you know, it's unbelievable. Her absolute passion for abortion. But today she comes out, and it's all over the news, how she's saying that anybody that's opposing the building of the mosque in the Islamic Community Center in New York, located by the 9/11 event, that they need to be investigated. Listen, here is a government official announcing that if anybody's going to investigate the dealings of that or oppose the dealings of the mosque in New York, that they need to be investigated. Are we supposed to say now, Hi Hitler? Are we supposed to say, Heil Nancy Pelosi? Are we nuts? How did she ever get there? And will America sleep this coming November? Will America sleep when it comes to the next issue? What will we demand of the President of the United States, senators, congressmen? What will we do with the power of the vote, the power of free speech, and the power of prayer in this nation? If we do nothing and sit back, then it is without question, it would seem clearly that it's all over. I've said again and again, don't give America to the dogs. Don't give in. Fight to the last day, the last breath. Fight. In a culture that has brought freedom to the gospel. Listen, I'm preaching the gospel, bringing the issues, dealing with the stuff. 80 other nations, people are downloading the things that we do. Could I do this in Iran? Could I do this in Saudi Arabia? Could I do this in China? There are many lands all around the world where I cannot do this. Listen, the freedom here is still incredible, and you better take advantage of the doors that God gives. Ephesians chapter 5, we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. So it's not about surviving and sneaking out of here when in a escapism version of the rapture. God never said just go hide somewhere until the rapture comes, and so that he can rapture out all the scared chicken little Christians. What a contrary view to the book of Acts, when these brave believers, even when they got beat up, even when they got put in jail, even when they were left for dead, got back up and did it again, got back up and went again, risked their lives to reach people, to tell them that God loves them, God wants them, Christ died for them. And so I'm going to ask you, are you going to be a strong, bold, fearless believer in Christ? In a world, in a culture here in the United States, and again, some of you are, again, downloading this later on all over the place. And I recognize that. I want you to know that you'll pray, you know, the prayers are going up for those of you in China and Russia and Norway and Sweden and Finland and Europe and all over. That I, again, compelled, that's why I'm here, compelled. You know, there's a lot of new talk show hosts everywhere. See, all I know is, listen, I'm new to all this, a couple of years in. And all I know is the driving presence of the compassion, yet the urgency of this hour. Underneath the carpet, the Luciferic agenda is bulging at the seams. The collapse, the dismantling, the changing of everything, well, it's coming. But it doesn't mean that we just give in. Doesn't mean that we just, especially if you're an American, especially if you understand the concept of giving it over, just sitting back, do nothing, and give it over, I guarantee you that as God said to Ezekiel, blood would be on our heads. When we didn't give the warning, when we did nothing, when we sat in silence, a shameful, guilty silence. You can learn to become extremely powerful in prayer. How do you think all those great revivals ever did occur? How do you think the power of God struck England years and years and years ago under Wesley's and Whitfield's and struck a revival such that would change the culture in the right direction? That's my number one bottom line and the premise of all that we do. God has great power. God has power to save. God has power to oppose radical evil. God has power. Listen, but who's going to pray? Who's going to do this? Who's going to stand? Who's going to make the voice out there on the in the local community? Who's going to do the voting? I ain't giving up. Don't tell me to give up. Don't tell me to give in. Not at all, if you understand what is at stake. Today we're dealing with a fifth part right now. I'm sorry, Monday night, Tuesday night, we had twice, and tonight this is the fourth in the series. ShatterTheDarkness.net, the website, will tell you the series each week. This week, Light on the Entity Allah, Origins and Attributes. Monday, we dealt with Allah never was God. and never will be. Tuesday, we dealt with Allah's origin as a territorial spirit. Tuesday at 7, we dealt with the Allah who hides and doesn't want you to know who he is or what he is. Now, tonight we're dealing with the subject, or the title tonight is Allah, quote, just shut up and submit. And so you know what I was doing? I'm going through all of these websites. I got a book here to the right that I'm going over again, and I do recommend by Robert Morey. It's called The Islamic Invasion. It's up on our website. You can click onto it. You can get it for about 10 cents and about $3 of shipping, something like that. And I don't know the fella. I just have ordered over the years 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 copies, given them away. And I got one of my old copies out here. It's got coffee stains all over it. Re-going over it this week. And we need to. In America, there is another level of, I believe, a subversive activity all across America. Because the nature of the agenda, the Islamic agenda, there is a subversive nature coming into cultures. And just like we have been talking about how it occurred with the Nazis, a spirit-given revelation that eventually becomes the political ideology, the law, and the military. If you do not understand that there are those in America, Muslims, that want Sharia law, that are fighting for Sharia law, that once they have gotten here, once they have rooted themselves here, there is a spiritual presence behind their agenda to change law, to bring a spiritual development in the political ideology of America. I think that right now that America is kind of been pushed and on the back of their heels. They're either going to fall backwards to all this, or there's going to be a radical change. I'm going to say to all Americans, you have a right to bring absolute opposition to the political intent of the mission of Islam as it's being pushed now. You have a right to be outspoken and oppose a mosque, an Islamic community center, when there are dozens of others around, right there at that location. Why at that location? Are they marking it as saying, we confess, along with the shadow government, that we have killed thousands of your people, and we repent, and we are now coming here to say we are sorry, and we are offering the victims' families funding and help, and we are going to do all that we can to expose terrorists in America, and we are... Is that what they're doing? No, it's a slap in the face. And so please understand very clearly, politically, spiritually, and with that sense of absolute freedom, you have a right in America to say, Allah is not God. I am not submitting to Allah. Muhammad is, well, his servant, yes, but is not a prophet of God and was not a good man. He was a man that killed people. He was a man that cut off hands and arms and tongues. He was a man that divorced his wife and married, what, how many, 20-some others? An 8-year-old? A 9-year-old? Listen, have you done your homework on who Muhammad really is? Have you done your homework? It's looking at the history, archaeology, the literature, the historical research will all show you what and who Muhammad was and what he did and why he did it. The entire development of the Quran is spiritually inspired, but developed in opposition to Christ, to God, and to the Bible. The whole thing. You've got to understand, Muhammad severely rejected Judaism and Christ, and guided, literally invaded in his life a spiritual presence. What was it? Well, it was his father's. Listen, if you understand spiritual, generational, family, familiar spirits, you've got to understand that when a family A family bloodline bows down to an ancient dark deity, be it Moloch, be it Baal, be it the demon gods of the ancient Mayans. When a family gives over and permits in legally to their lives for the influence of, the attachment, possession, whatever, then the presence then will seek the rest of the family. If Muhammad's father worshipped the moon god, which he did, clearly the moon god, listen, if you looked at the pictures, if you looked at the stuff, if you've done the studies, the little statue sitting there in the chair, the crescent moon, listen, look at the moon god, going back to what some called the sin god, may be actually the prince of all of the ancient empire of Persia. Friday, we're going to go over that. My personal belief is that the prince of Persia is the moon god and is whom they say Allah is right now. So Allah was in existence and being worshipped as a pagan deity for a long, 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 long time. That's history. That's archaeology. I'm looking at websites that are, you know, written, done by Muslims. I am looking at YouTube videos done by Muslims, and I'm astounded as they all begin with things like, you know, Allah is the truth and the only God and always has been, always will be. There's no truth to the other stuff. But they, what's history? What's archaeology all about? What is that statue, that moon god sitting in a chair with a crescent moon? What is Muhammad's father doing? The family was into the moon god and the goddesses. And so there was a day in which there was engagement with Muhammad. And listen, I understand demonic possession. I understand clearly what demonic activity is all about. We've engaged this so many times, both on a reading level, on trying to read every book out there, hundreds of them. And I mean hundreds. There's got to be over here on the area of spiritual warfare and all of that and demonization and all of that put together, there's got to be right to my right here about 1,000 volumes just on that subject. And so we want to read everything, but in looking at this whole, well, engagement with Muhammad, my friends, I'm telling you right now that I'm seeing the exact same kind of seducing spirit, a territorial being with under its reign, under its rule, there will be many thousands, hundreds of thousands of spirits to accomplish its goal. So today when I say concerning the issue of Allah, what does Allah want? We dealt with who he is and the realities there, but what is it that he wants? What does Islam want? I mean, I'm reading right now off a pro-Islamic, I mean totally Islamic Muslim website. Let me read to you. I'm just going to read to you because I simply typed in how to become a Muslim. And here's one of the ones I chose to read, and I'm quoting, quote, Islam is an Arabic word and connotates submission, surrender, and obedience. As a religion, Islam stands for complete submission and obedience to Allah. Now, when I look at this website and I see what it says, and I went to other websites about the basic things, belief in one God, I mean, belief in Allah, period. Belief in angels, the kind of angels that visited Muhammad. Now, they were counterfeit. They were not the same ones that visited Daniel. Number three, you got to believe only in that book. And that book is written as a contrast to the Bible, Old Testament and New. The entire development of the Quran is very similar to the early Gnostic writings, to other materials that came on down the road. You're going to have to decide whether it is a demonically, spiritually inspired writing or whether God the Holy Spirit wrote. Because in all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, all of it established, all of it written, all of it out there, hundreds of years before Muhammad even came about. Did you hear what I said? Hundreds of years before Muhammad even came about. So you're talking about the Bible, 40 writers, 1,600 years to complete it, 1,600 years, three continents, three languages, all the writers, again, most without question, never knew each other at all, did not live in the same continent, some didn't speak the same language, they were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years apart. Yet the Spirit of God guided them to write and bring the revelation of God and God's redemption and God's love and what God wants to do. God wants to be known. God wants to reveal. God wants to know you. God wants you to know Him. And so when you look at all of that, it is very clear. You study the Quran, read it. Go ahead if you want to read it and read the Bible. You're going to see that they are absolutely opposed. And then you'll have to decide. You'll have to decide. Now, the Bible doesn't come out and say, well, the Quran is this, the Quran is that. It never speaks of Allah. It never speaks of the Quran. It never speaks of Muhammad or the coming of Muhammad or anything. You've got to understand, it's Islam is a development that it came hundreds of years later on the heels of utter, total rejection of the Old Testament, utter, total rejection of the New Testament and of Christ. So the family, territorial spirit, the entity that the father and the rest of the family paid honor to, all knew an ancient pagan deity. Now, it is very clear that in the beginning, when Muhammad was engaged by a spiritual presence that would bring him to the ground, cause him to foam at the mouth, lead him in dreams and visions and seeing things, and then write these things down, he was engaged generationally. The door was opened. His heart and life was absolutely sealed against God, Christ, and the Bible. And another presence that claimed rights based on family bloodline claimed rights and engaged him. And he believed and he received and he took in and he killed off everybody and destroyed other pagan deities, about 360 of them, and went after all of the other Arabs in the area, and began literally a campaign, either you submit to Allah as he was led to do, and declare that Allah is the supreme above all the other pagan deities, and ultimately Allah is supreme above everything. So there is literally a development going on. Allah is never spoken of as the God of the universe, as the Savior of humanity, until the 7th century. Always has been, and the truth is, always will be, a pagan territorial deity. As with other pagan territorial deities around the world, they do entrench themselves in lives, families, tribes, nations. And they will then seek absolute control through the political system, the laws, the enforcement. It's pretty clear. So when we look at the submit to Allah issue and do Allah's will issue, have you read the fine print? Have you read the fine print and see and understood what it is that Allah wants? I mean, look at the Quran. Look at what Allah ultimately wants. Ultimately, it is about world, to dominate the world, to control the world, to bring the whole world under the rule and the reign of Allah. How's all the women out there feel about that? I mean, if you look at history since the 7th century, look at how the women's been treated. Who gets to go to heaven? What's heaven all about? Is it 23 virgins, 72 virgins? I mean, when the women die, do they get like 65 buff Chippendale naked men? Or is it just the men that get the naked virgins? What's that all about? How does that come about? Is it something to do with Muhammad's 23 or more brides? Has anybody read the fine print? Has anybody seen the will, the agenda, the goal of this entity, Allah? Now, at this point, Allah, I believe, still is territorially located over there, maybe attached to the Black Stone. We're going to deal with the Black Stone and the Satanic Verses on Thursday night. Remember, on Thursday night, the only way to get the live show or the show that we do, the broadcast that we do, is to go to shatterthedarkness.net and click on the Thursday link. Tonight, when we think in terms of Allah, one thing about who he is, the second thing about is the will. And so it's all about submission. It's all about getting down. It's all about the Shahada. It's all about you have to say that Allah is the only God, that Muhammad is the only prophet. You know, you have to repeat that again and again and again and again and again and again. Which I'm going to tell you right now, on a spiritual warfare basis, understanding the laws of spiritual engagement, that gives right to the territorial demonic presence, Allah, and all the demonic spirits under the territorial presence, that gives that spiritual structure the right to bring influence and attachment to your life. If you surrender and submit to Allah, you will surrender and submit to actual spiritual presence. That actual spiritual presence can bring attachment and direct influence. Now, if you begin to read the Quran, and you'll have to decide, is the Quran written, guided by the Spirit of God, or the spirit of Antichrist? Remember, again, the New Testament's out there already, hundreds of years before the Quran. The New Testament warns of the later writings that would come, guided by demonic seducing spirits, called Didache of Daemonia, Didache of Demons. That they would come as the spirit of Antichrist would guide. The first part of the goal would be to get people to reject the real Christ, embrace a new spiritual system, come up with a new de-deified version of Jesus Christ, but present the new revelation as something higher and bigger and broader, and every cult by the thousands have done the same. Based on a spiritual leading, rejecting Christ, rejecting the New Testament, coming up with a de-deified non-savior Christ, and then a spiritual higher revelation, whether that's sun, moon, whether that's Allah, whether that's, well, Scientology has done the same. The spirit of Antichrist guides anyone, anywhere in their writings to de-deify Christ, remove him as Savior, completely obscure the cross, and whitewash the second coming, and hold up a... And this, listen, psychics, you've done it. Remote viewers getting information from the Akashic Records, you're doing the same thing. Because the spirits, fallen ones, cannot and will not acknowledge Christ as God in human flesh. In their, as God has prophesied, as the Spirit of God has said, there's going to become, signs, wonders, a supernatural smorgasbord going on out there. And there would be writings. And the writings, according to 1 John, the whole book of 1 John, listen, you read 1 John and you're supposed to be able as a believer to know the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. It is amazing to me that the agenda of Allah to get an individual, because I've seen this in so many systems, get them to submit to the presence, to the person of Allah through the extension and network of the demons under him, get them to, of course, have the Quran inspired by Allah and those spirits. Listen, anybody reading demonic doctrine, doctrine inspired by spirits, once you begin to believe it and embrace it and put it into practice, you can be sure, at the very least, there will be spiritual attachment. So is it true that you can be in a mosque and feel something? Yes. Is it true that you can be reading the Quran and feel something? Yes. Do you know what it is? The spirit of Antichrist. The spirits of Antichrist. Everything that Allah says leads individuals to open a door. Leads individuals not just submission to Allah, but a recognition and a declaration against God, against Christ, against the Bible. You've got to understand, you cannot be a Muslim without being against the God of the Bible, the living Christ, the cross, and the Savior, Jesus Christ himself. You have to, in order to be a Muslim, you have to vehemently reject all of that. And by the way, if you do read the Quran, you could read it for yourself. I was reading the other day where, you know what, those who won't submit to, you know, kill them. Listen, I've got another website we're looking at today. It's titled Refuge from Islam. You can do a search if you want to, but it's just simply entitled Refuge from Islam. I'm going to quote to you what it says. Because listen, if you're going to submit to Allah, you open the door to the entire spiritual structure. It is in total opposition to the God of the Bible, Christ, the mission of God. It absolutely lends itself 100% to aid, abed the Luciferic globalism. It actually brings the precursors that will guide millions already submitted to Allah to embrace the coming Antichrist as their, well, as their world conqueror in human flesh. If you're going to read any of the Muslim scholars, if you're going to look at anything concerning the 12th Imam, if you're going to look at all concerning their definition, Ahmadinejad, he believes in him. There's many Muslims that believe that the Mahdi is coming. The Mahdi will not come without massive bloodshed first. There's got to be a lot of bloodshed. All the way to Israel. They got to annihilate Israel, and the Mahdi eventually not only will come on the heels of massive, chaotic, anarchy bloodshed, but the goal is to get to the temple and declare rule from the temple and make everybody submit. Do you understand the will? I mean, if you submit to Allah, you got to do Allah's will. Now, there's practical things about living, obviously, from the Quran, but it all engages your constant daily submission, your daily recognition, your daily shahada, declarations of Allah, your every single day by your words and actions in the mosque, you will continue to keep the door open. Now, you do know there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Arabs around the world that have left Islam, renounced Allah, you know that there's thousands upon thousands that have come to Christ. Let me read you something from this website, Refuge from Islam. I'm going to tell you why. I believe supernaturally God, the real living God, shown in the person of Christ, shows love, shows forgiveness, shows redemption, shows how to know God in a personal way and know that you have the gift of eternal life. And the gift of eternal life doesn't involve any naked 23, 73, whatever it is, virgins. The gift of eternal life has nothing to do with male or female bigotry, favoritism. So I'm looking at Refuge from Islam. Here's what it says. If you long to be free. Now I'm quoting. Quote, if you are thinking of leaving Islam, be wary, be careful. Do not tell your Muslim friends or family. The Quran commands your death for leaving Islam. 4-89 calls for the murder of renegades from the faith. I'm still quoting. And Muhammad is explicit in a hadith. Quote, if anyone changes his religion, that is leaving, you know, Islam, leaving, kill him. Kill him. And so I'm quoting here from this website. Quote, many, many, in parentheses, quotes, honor killings, they call it honor killings, have been committed for crimes that are in Islamic law considered far less serious than leaving Islam. Then it says, if you think you're safe in America, it mentions an individual Muslim that left. He's been threatened numerous times for leaving Islam. He was murdered by Islamic supremacists in Arizona in the early 1990s. I'm quoting again, if you fear for your life, it gives you a place to contact, info, a voice for the persecuted.com. If you're unsure of how your family or community will respond to your admitting that you're leaving, don't take chances. And it tells you here what to do. If you are a Muslim listening live now in America, Canada, other places, if you are a Muslim that has gotten this as a MP3 and you're listening to it wherever you are in the world, I am telling you that you have a right to leave, that the God that loves you, that wants you to know God, listen to the ladies. To the ladies, let me say right now that God the Father loves you, that there's great care in the hands of God the Father, God's love for you, God's care over you. God chose the Virgin Mary. That's right, in the incarnation, prophesied 700 years in advance. Isaiah never talked about Muhammad. Isaiah never talked about Allah. Allah's never mentioned once in the Old Testament or New Testament scriptures. The only possible mention would be in the book of Daniel, if the moon god is the prince of Persia that battled angels of God bringing a message to Daniel that dealt with the ending of the Babylonian Empire and then dealt with the Medo-Persian and the Greek and the Roman, their rise and fall. If you want out, you can get out. If you want out, you have a right to get out. I know if there's fear, pray, Jesus, deliver me from all fear. You can turn to the living Christ right where you are, wherever you are in all the world. When I told you the other day about Reza Safa, former radical Shiite Muslim, that he had great fear in wanting to leave Islam, Allah, and turn to Jesus Christ. And I will say that if you're going to leave, as this website, Refuge from Islam, as it says, with all of the help that it has there for you, turning to the living Christ. Maybe someone in Sudan, maybe somebody in Kuwait, maybe somebody, we've had downloads in Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Israel. You've got to understand, if you're in Michigan listening right now, you've got to understand submission to Allah is submission to an ancient pagan territorial entity that has taken opportunity through the bloodline, spiritual familiar spirit of Muhammad's family line. And that it found a great door in Muhammad who embraced. Now, there was times Muhammad believed that he was being guided by Satan. Tomorrow night, we're going to deal with the satanic verses. We're going to deal with the time when he finally began to realize that, hey, this is demonic. This is demons doing this to me. You know, his first wife left him because of that. It's like in Satanism, I've got a book here. It's called The Devil's Bible, and it warns you in the end. It shows you rituals, how to submit to Satan, how to submit to Lucifer, how to become a follower. But it warns you that you can never get out. It warns you severely. And the threat of death, the threat of punishment, the threat. I've had Satanists in my office that as they once yielded to and accepted the demons, now they're really ready to get rid of. I watched how when they wanted to turn to Christ, I've watched the demons throw them to the ground, literally try to choke them out. And by the authority of the living Christ, demons were crushed. Muslims, demon power, dark spiritual presence and fearful presence over your life can be banished in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes to bring you freedom, to bring you love, to bring you into personal relationship, and the very Spirit of God will come into your life and give you the power and the presence. Let me tell you what Allah does not give you. There's no direct, immediate assurance of the love of Allah. Number one, there is none. Number two, there is no direct reality of forgiveness, of sin. That's why Muslims have to keep working and worrying and worrying and working and worrying and working about the issue of sin. There's no forgiveness. Nothing to base it on. Allah doesn't have a right to forgive sin. And then thirdly, there's no salvation. You know, when you read anything in the Quran about eternal life, you read anything there, it's absolutely, completely different than God in Christ, indestructible immortality, Jesus talking to the dying criminal on the cross who repents and turns to him and accepts him as Lord. Jesus says, and only Jesus can say this, today you will be with me in paradise. See, Jesus Christ is coming again, and even the Quran obscures that. In the Quran, there is no cross. There is opposition to the cross. Opposition to the work of the cross. That, my friends, is the spirit of Antichrist. When the Antichrist comes, you can be sure there will be an alliance with Islam. You'll be sure that the precursors of Allah and the presence of the spirits under Allah there in the Middle East will just grip millions, hundreds of millions of individuals and guide them to believe that the Antichrist is their Mahdi, is their ruler, is the one that's come to appease them. They, Muslims, will be betrayed no differently than Luciferians, no differently than New Agers, no differently than those who embrace the most, well, the pinnacle of masqueraded deception, the pinnacle of Satan in human skin appealing to everyone in his goal of world control, globalism, and eventually leads the world to Armageddon. There's no cross with Allah. There's no cross in the Quran. Allah, the Quran, are in direct opposition to the cross. Muslim, dear friend listening right now, look at the cross. Prophesied 1,000 years in advance, the Holy One would die and rise from the dead. Prophesied 700 years in advance, the suffering servant would take your sins. He would come and conquer sin, conquer death, conquer Satan, conquer radical evil, and absolutely open wide heaven's access. Reveal God's will. God's will, not willing that anybody perish. God's will that pas anthropos, all humanity, Arabs, the Russian, the Chinese, the Indian, the Eskimo, the Swahili. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. This is the global, God so loved the world. The cross is the biggest declaration of God's love, the biggest declaration of God's presence coming into the world, the greatest wielding of spiritual presence and power over dark, satanic activity. What do you want? Anyone, as Jesus said, that believes in him and receives him, receives, well, absolute, total, not only forgiveness, but God's personal presence. God adopts you. The spirit of adoption comes in. You can know God in a personal way and know that you know that when Christ returns, a glorification, that you're given indestructible immortality, male or female. Muslim, you have a right. Read the Gospel of John. Muslim, the Spirit of God would call you. Check into the Gospel of Mark. And know that God wants you. God wants you. Christ wants you. And you can come out. We're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar on a Wednesday night, the 18th of August. Hey, keep us in your prayers. Remember the website, shatterthedarkness.net. New stuff every day. And for those who can, remember us in help and support. And thank you. God bless you tonight. Good night.